People talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, lead it, let this song I'm singing get warning. You're running down my country. And you're walking on the fight beside me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They buy milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the real life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Singing, be warned. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in the fallen down keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. You running down my country, man, you walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, there you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program. Sorry, program here on lightresistanceradio.com, of course. This is alt-right TV, .com. Lots more news and views for our people, going to look at a number of things today. First of all, and I found this very interesting. Here's the usual anti-racist boo-hoo-hoo. Before I get to that, there's one of these tearjerker stories in the Globe and Mail today about a girl named Wildeen. Wild, out of control, and E-N-E, Wildeen. Wildeen is a 14-year-old Negress from Haiti, but she was in the Dominican Republic. Anyway, the story goes that a couple based out of my old city of Hamilton had some sort of a charity going, where they would go down to the Dominican Republic and attempt to help children and so on that seemed to be in need. Now, how they supported themselves, it would take several trips a year down to the Dominican, I'm not quite sure. Well, some years ago, they were in a garbage dump in the Dominican Republic. Don't ask. And they saw this pathetic-looking mother, scrounging through garbage that had come from all-you-can-eat meals at nearby hotels. And most of the hotels in the Dominican Republic are kind of an all-inclusive package. That is, whatever you pay covers your airline, your accommodations, and your meals, and even drinks, up to a point. But anyway, fine. So this black woman is scrounging through the garbage. Scrounging through the leftover food. So this couple befriends her, and with her is this little child, Wildine. I think Wildine would have been just an infant, because I think this was back in 2008. Well, not long afterwards, Wildine dies. Wildine's mother dies. But they keep in touch with Wildine. Wildine is being cared for by her grandmother in Haiti. Well, that seems to make sense. This couple, they're white, get the idea that they'd like to sponsor Wildine to come to Canada. Well, there are a lot of legal complications that arise. I don't think they need particularly interest us that much, but Wildine, although she was born in Haiti, in the Dominican Republic, of these Haitian mother, who is probably illegally in the Dominican Republic, the Dominicans changed their citizenship law rules a few years ago, so that you must be born, to be a Dominican, you have to be born of a Dominican parent. Well, that makes sense. Well, as the mother was illegally in the Dominican Republic, she wasn't. So she actually has the Wildine, who is now has Haitian citizenship. the do-gooding, or I would just say meddling, Canadians. Now, you may not agree with me. You may say, oh, well, they're kind-hearted and they're trying to do the right thing. Well, you know, maybe they are, maybe they're not. But so they're trying to adopt her. But you see, in order for her to come to Canada, there has to be some proof of who she is. So she can't get Dominican papers. So they try to get her Haitian papers. Well, there's a problem there. In 2010, of course, there was this big earthquake, and apparently it wiped out a lot of the documentation, the documentation center in Port-au-Prince. So the story goes. So the persistent couple, in fact, the attempts to adopt Wildine and frequent trips to the Dominican Republic for this charity, I kind of asked myself, the article doesn't tell us, well, where do they get the money for this charity? You know, or in fact, how do these people make a living? You know, anyway, none of that's revealed to us. But anyway, the story's mostly about bureaucracy and Wildine. Well, believe it or not, the Canadian government's immigration bureaucracy is extremely clunky. Huge waits, circuitous rules, and so on. The problem seems to be that Wildine doesn't really have much in the way of documentation. Oh, the grandmother back in Haiti says, oh yes, it'd be wonderful if the Canadian white couple would adopt Wildine, because then she may live. I thought, well, you know, this is typical of the third world. You know, not to be unfair or unkind, but, you know, a healthy country takes care of its own. It sounds like this poor kid is even really an orphan or has no family. Oh, yes, you say, well, in this already complicated story, Paul, what about the father? Yeah, good point. What about the father? Well, we don't have much information about the father. You see, this is so typical of many black countries. Exceedingly casual sex or family commitment. You know, and you know, I'll be quite blunt. Yes, there are white men who procreate wildly, leaving little kids around, and don't take care of them, don't send support, or and that's bad. And I would not, for one moment, defend it. And I would also say that it is an aberration. It's not typical white behavior. It's not typical Japanese behavior. There are always, of course, individual exceptions. But it is unfortunately very characteristically black behavior. And you've got to be blunt about it. This is, I know some people say, that's racist. No, it's race realist. And I like Jared Taylor's term. I don't know if everybody goes along with it, but a person who recognizes race and makes comments based on the reference race, especially sometimes in what might be seen as a negative way. You said something mean about those people. Mean or otherwise, but what I've said is, to the best of my ability, true. And that's race realism. Race is a factor in human behavior. There are racial differences. You may disagree with that. You may say, I wish there weren't. Well, okay, you may wish there weren't, but there are. A race realist takes that into consideration. Anyway, so the father's not in the scene. So, okay, back to the problems with immigration. So they're trying to get Wildeen, bring her up to Canada. Now, meanwhile, the do-gooding couple have split up. The father is very, very interested in his new, what's euphemistically called, partner. I don't know, I mean, she's his business partner, or lives with him, or is married to him. But anyway, they want to bring up Wildeen, still want to bring up Wildeen. And this is from today's Globe and Mail. Wildeen's application said she was born in the Dominican Republic to a now deceased Haitian mother, and that the Dominican Republic's move to rewrite its constitution had left her stateless and orphaned. Usually, you would take the citizenship of your mother, and her mother was Haitian. The official dispute of this because the application included a Haitian passport that named Wildeen's biological father. The official deemed that her biological father had parental rights and would have to consent to the adoption. Well, that makes sense. The official also refused to recognize a guardianship agreement signed by Wildeen's grandmother as legally valid because it was affirmed with three crosses rather than the customary thumbprint. Yeah, you heard that right. And you can conclude from that the grandmother is, it's right, illiterate. Can't even sign her own name. At some point, this persistent white Canadian who's trying to adopt Wildeen confronted our trust fund kid, the Prime Minister, back in 2017 at a town hall meeting. And Trudeau pledged, we'll get it done. The Prime Minister even autographed a Bring Wildeen Home sign, but Trudeau's government has blocked the adoption at every turn. I'd say probably good. It's typical of the virtue signaling Prime Minister. We'll get things there, we'll bring... Can you imagine a Bring Wildeen Home sign? But Canada is not her home. Her home is in the Dominican Republic. And her relatives, it would appear, are in Haiti. This is the completely crazy liberal nonsense. And this gets even richer. A fellow who'd like to adopt her, this newfie named Earl, said, I'm not making this stuff up. Earl said the chief of staff to former immigration minister Ahmed Hassan told him the minister didn't like the optics of a white family rescuing a black child. What is not in doubt is that the Liberal government continue to refuse to grant a temporary resident permit. Well, anyway, so the case remains in limbo. I find this fascinating. Chief of Staff of former Immigration Minister Ahmed Hassan. Now, you would say, he doesn't sound like an Irishman to me. Well, you'd be quite right. He's not. He's a Somali. What's it? You said that's Canada's immigration minister? Yeah, you got it. Under the trust fund kid, fairly soon into his mandate, after he shuffled off an awful, awful individual, radically pro-Chinese immigration minister, McCallum, whose wife is Chinese, sent him off to China as our ambassador until he screwed that up royally. He's so pro-Chinese, you wonder if he's actually the Chinese ambassador to Canada. But anyway, he replaced him with Ahmed Hassan. Now, Ahmed Hassan is a Somali. He came to Canada as a, quote, refugee, as a teenager. He's a Muslim. He was an immigration lawyer. And at one point was the president of the Canadian Somali Association. What else? Muslim, Somali, refugee, and he's the gatekeeper. Right. I'm talking about an absolute wet towel slap in the face to Canadians to put this clown in as immigration minister. Well, anyway, during his tenure, the Earl is trying to get Wildeen, the Haitian by way of the Dominican Republic, up to Canada so they can adopt her. actually, it's not funny, it's pathetic. But Hassan is not very favorable to that. On what basis? On the basis that he didn't like the optics of a white family rescuing a black child. It's a little bit too much like the white man's burden of the great white hope. He's got a point there. He's got a point. What I think really is that it highlights the disgrace of the way some blacks, I always have to emphasize this, there are many exceptions, but some blacks failed in their family responsibilities. This is not a boo-hoo-hoo story about, oh, poverty, that, you know, the fate handed her a foul hand. This is a case of bad parenting. Where's her father? Where's the rest of her extended family? The grandmother said, oh, she'd be better off in Canada. Well, I dare say she would be in some way. Well, Ahmed Hassan didn't like that because it kind of shows blacks up some blacks, as not doing a very good job of parenting. You might also say he'd rather the kid remain in poor circumstances in the Dominican Republic than in better circumstances in Canada, if it would in any way, in some people's view, make white people look better, look good. A story that casts a favorable light on nobody. Okay, well, here's another boo-hoo-hoo. I'll give you 10 seconds to go and grab a box of Kleenex here. Indigenous woman. Now, that's Indian, Native Indian, in case you're not up on the latest changes. I've got to say this. I always wonder about a group that can't get it straight from, you know, like one year to another. What you call them? You know, it used to be Indians. Well, then it was First Nations. And then it's Aboriginals. And then it's Indigenous people. Same with blacks. When I was growing up, a relative of mine used to, in Upper New York State, used to talk about the colored folk. And then, you know, along the way, my parents told me, well, they were Negroes, you know, from the Latin word meaning black. That's accurate. Some other people call them another name, but in my parents' circles, most didn't. They called them Negroes. Along came Black Power in the 60s and 70s, and then they were blacks. Now they're African Americans. Even though, of all the blacks in the United States, I doubt 5% have come from Africa. I mean, directly, yeah, maybe 300 years ago. Africa plays very little role in their lives, but that's the current thing. Well, anyway, a bit of a digression. Did indigenous women face a deluge of online threats and racism? Oh no, really? Yeah. Michelle Audette feels disappointed when she looks online and sees a barrage of violent threats toward indigenous women. It made me so mad that we tolerate this. There's no real reprimand. You mean tolerate people's opinion? I always find it interesting when they're not specific threats. Oh, what is the threat? You know, actually, a direct threat of violence, I mean, depending on how it's worded, is an offense against the criminal code. Somehow being tolerated. It's actually criticism these people don't like. Ms. Odette was one of the commissioners of the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. What a disgrace that crowd was. Tens of millions of dollars of over budget, I think a year late in tabling their report. And as you might well imagine, this report on murder and missing Indian women concluded, it's all our fault. Yeah, that's white people. It's our fault. It's our fault if in over 75% of the cases an Indian woman is murdered by a fellow Indian. That's right. Usually a husband, boyfriend, lover, close relative, and in about 75% of the cases, heavy abuse of drugs and alcohol are involved, but it's our fault. Anyway, as she gently places her eight-month-old grandchild into her vehicle in Quebec City, Miss Audette explains that she understood it would take time for government and society to work toward the more than 200 recommendations included in the inquiry's final report. The report called violence against First Nations, Métis, and Inuit, I better translate that. The report called violence against Indian, Métis, they're mixed blood, and Eskimo women and girls a form of genocide. Well, if you have a mental bullshit meter, it should be the needle should be blasting off the chart. The report called violence against against Indian women a form of genocide. The genocide would be appearing to try to wipe out a race. But Indians are one of the fastest growing components of the Canadian population because they have a high birth rate. Where's the genocide? And the violence, to the extent it can be quantified, and of course the Commission on Murdered and Missing Indian Women, I just want to get this right. The National Inquiry, it was not able to investigate missing women. They didn't find any. it was always a crock of nonsense. They had no investigative powers training, so they didn't find any missing Indian women. They did look into reports about the murdered women. And it was actually quite simple. The RCMP reported, and this report would be accurate as of 2014, that approximately 1,100 Indian women who'd been murdered from about 1980 to 2014, 90% of the cases were solved, which is about the same rate as the solve rate for murders of white women. 75% or so involved, found that the women were, in the case, 75% of the cases, the women were murdered by a fellow Indian, usually a husband, lover, boyfriend, or close family member. And in almost 75% of the cases, drugs and alcohol abuse were involved. So how is that a genocide? That means trying to wipe out a race. Well, unless you say that these often drunken or drugged males, Indian males, are somehow trying to wipe out their own people. I doubt that in a drug or booze-addled brain, any such long-range plan occurs. That's just not... this was typical of the complete wild nonsense that came out of that report. Okay, well, we're kind of getting to the problem now, I think. Miss Odette said she hoped the work would mean a better and safer future for her children and her granddaughter. She wonders if Indigenous women, those are Indians, Indian women, feel any safer, especially with threats leveled during recent anti-pipeline protests, rail blockades, and demonstrations. In many of these cases, she feels that women are most often targets, or more often targets than men. Well, who knows? Here again, status quo. We are not safe. Well, you've got kind of a... shake out your head here for a sec. And the protests, many of them illegal, not all, but the ones that blockaded railways, that means prevent the legitimate use of the railway for transportation, and damaged, severely damaged, the Canadian economy, cost people their employment. Yeah, there might be some unhappiness with that. Bardish Jagger. Now, if your keen ear says, I don't think Bardish, what is that, a he or she, a cocktail? Bardish Jagger. Yeah, she didn't come from County Tipperary. Bardish, she's actually a Sikh. Bardish Jagger, Canada's Minister of Diversity, Inclusion, and Youth. You actually have a cabinet, you actually sit at a cabinet table, and that's your portfolio? Diversity? We're going to have more diversity. Hey, what about us? Do we ever want to utterly change this country? Inclusion. Yeah, but not for white people. They don't want to include you if you are, say, a traditional Christian. Were you some sort of bigot? If you don't want hordes more of illegals pouring into Canada, they don't want to include you. That's not part of the diversity. But anyway, our minister, Bardish Jagger, Canada's Minister of Diversity, Inclusion, and Youth, has called racist taunts and threats directed at Indigenous women after recent protests horrible and ignorant. She says many Canadians are unaware of Indigenous history and rights. Yeah, we're stupid. And do we really need a person from India telling us we're stupid? You think I could go over to India and maybe they put me in the cabin and I tell the Indians to abandon parts of their religion and get rid of those sacred cows? Can you imagine that? Only in Canada. Only in a broken country. Would we put up with this crap? So anyway, she says that racist taunts and threats directed at indigenous people are horrible. We're not given specifics. Racist taunts, like what? Go back to your reserve? Or you're already privileged people? Well, what's racist about that? As so often happens, we are told, not shown. Like, I'd like to know, to judge for myself, what the taunts were, as how bad they were. Don't forget, they're directed at people, at Indians, who are, in most cases here, breaking the law. And indulged in breaking the law by the very government that's preaching at us through this Bardish Jagger. Erica Violet Lee, a community organizer from Saskatoon. What's a community organizer? I know. It's a paid position for raising... probably the Indian band pays this. But anyway, she's a community organizer from Saskatoon. Says the treatment of Indigenous women in Canada has always been violent. Okay, but yeah, perhaps, but at whose hands? If a drunken boyfriend, spouse, close family member puts a beating on an Indian woman, is that my fault as a white Canadian? No. We got to be a little bit specific as to where the violence is coming from. When they speak out about issues, Canadian politeness crumbles away, she says. It was similar during the Idle No More protest movement, which was started by four women in 2012. When Indigenous, that's Indian, communities and nations exercise, what do you mean nations? They're not nations. This is a fantasy that we have allowed, or at least the Liberals have allowed over the past number of years to get out there, that the Indian tribes are some sort of nations. Yes, they have a discrete history, and they should be proud of it, and so on, but they're not nations. They are part of the Canadian nation. When Indigenous communities exercise our inherent right to self-determination, we become troublemakers, bad Indians, who don't respect the Canadian rule of law, Ms. Lee said in an email. Well, self-determination. Within Canada, yeah. Self-determination would seem to me to mean taking more responsibility for their own people, like the missing Indians, the missing Indian women. There, but I think about 1,100 of them in the past 30 years have just disappeared, gone missing. Well, they claim to be nations. Or they're not, but they're tribes. They claim to want self-determination. Well, take care of your own people. Keep track of your own girls, for heaven's sakes. And she goes on, the Cree laws and the laws of our land say that we have a responsibility to act in situations of injustice and environmental devastation. Yeah, perhaps they do, but to act legally. Ms. Lee recently attended a demonstration in Saskatoon, at the Saskatoon rail line in support of the Wet'suwet'en hereditary chiefs opposed to a natural gas pipeline on traditional territory in British Columbia. She says some men began yelling at young protesters to jump in front of the trains. Okay. So? That's an opinion. Get lost. It may be a little bit rough, but it's their opinion. It's these white people's opinion, rejecting the blocking of important railway traffic. She says She and the youth were, these Indian youth, were called everything from stupid to terrorists. They also received death threats. Well, okay, but specifically, what was the death threat? They were called stupid and terrorists. Well, illegally blocking illegal sabotage is a form of terrorism. Yeah, stupid. Well, again, that's a judgment. Why? Do you expect white people to stand around and say, hooray, hooray, you're shutting down our economy. Fantastic. Get real. How do we respond to that? We keep living on. Well, okay, yeah. During the pipeline protest, it was common to see online comments encouraging drivers to run over the protesters. And I can certainly understand that. When you see these indulged Native Indians and some of their non-Indian environmental crazy supporters illegally, and I have to emphasize that, illegally blocking roads and railway lines, and the police most of the time doing nothing. They're going to the local Tim Hortons and having another coffee. And some people online are urging drivers to run them over. Well, you know, this brings up a kind of an interesting point. One side breaks the law and trying to shut down the economy. But if the other side were, if the rest of us were to be in any way violent, we're the bad guys. In all this, of course, you'd say, well, where are the police? Well, they'd be only too happy to arrest us. You can understand the frustration. And notice, this article is by Kelly Geraldine Malone. We're not told who she is. It's an absolute puff piece for these natives. I call this just a boo-hoo-hoo piece in the paper. And it's quite common, I find, with anti-racists. They will do outrageous things and then be go into the martyr act when somebody objects. Oh, we're being persecuted. Well, no, you take an extreme stand you've got to expect that people may disagree with you, but that's okay. Can't we have a disagreement? Well, sore loser. Pocahontas is not happy. That's Elizabeth Warren. Didn't do all that well in the primaries, and over the weekend she dropped out. And you may not realize this, but she's blaming sexism. And there's a very interesting article by a PhD who is, I believe she's Chinese, who specializes in the politics of sex. And I thought, oh no, well, what are we going to hear from her? But actually, much of what she wrote in today's paper was quite sensible. Elizabeth Warren said that we've moved a little closer to changing the notion of what a president of the United States should look like. In other words, a woman, but we're not quite there yet. And the author says, really? That's what she took away from her loss? For those following the 2020 race, there were myriad culprits that could have contributed to her downfall, among them declaring that she was of Native American ancestry. Donald Trump hit on a pretty good point. If you fudge, or worse still, make up your ancestry. I guess to be, politically correct. And if you do that falsely, don't be surprised if some people call you on it. That was one of the reasons for her not doing too well. She just kind of lacked credibility. Or announcing plans to appoint a transgendered 9-year-old to approve the Secretary of Education. Now, I didn't realize that she'd done that. Talk about a flaky, weird idea to appoint a 9-year-old transgendered child to approve the Secretary of Education. Elizabeth Warren told the Culinary Workers Union in Las Vegas to call a woman when you have a mess that needs cleaning up. This enthusiastic embracing of the wokest of identity politics was not the only thing that led to her campaign's demise. A widely seen video of a father in Iowa disagreeing with Ms. Warren's proposal to cancel student loan debt spoke of her difficulty in connecting with voters. I think a fair number of people just didn't like her personality. Anyway, of course, it's always easy to blame it on sexism, which is pretty much the default position for the boo-hoo-hoo crowd. Well, this is Paul Fromm. I'm going to take my musical break now, and I want to thank Tina and Mark Palazzola they were main fixtures in the St. Louis branch of the Council of Conservative Citizens for sending me this collection of Ulster Scots folk tunes, and I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the selection and play a few that I've not played before.
The Fleur Ulster marched awa, and off they went for king and empire. The song took all their blood and life. Their mothers greeting, the feathers drinking. A new a widow they bear a wife. It's powerful quick in Craigie Warren, but wished my wind falls in the night. His feathers lying, wee poppies blooming. That wee cub was his heart's delight. I'll rear the wind that has nae feather, and tell them all the lads say lail. They'll sing and play and raise a ruction. The dun will heal us powerful weal. I mind the lads of Craigie Warren. I mind the lads all yin and all. We cheered them off at Fenner Station. The Fleur Ulster marched away. Thank you.
A walking one morning in May, to view yon fair valleys and mountains so gay, I was thinking of your flowers all going to decay, that bloom around ye bonny, bonny sleeve gallant rays. I oft in the morning with my my dog and my gun. I ramble these mountains for joy and for fun. But these days are now all over, and I can no longer stay. So farewell unto ye bonny, bonny sleep, gallon braes. I oft of an evening with the sun in the west, I rode hand in hand with the one I love best. But the joys of youth are vanished, and now I'm far away. So farewell unto ye bonny, bonny sleep, gallant braes. So my name is James McGarvey, as you must understand. And the townland of Derry in Archer, I own a farm of land. But the rents, they are so high, and the tax I cannot pay, which causes me to wander from ye sleep, gallant braes. As I went a-walking one morning in May, to view yon fair valleys and mountains so gay, I was thinking of your flowers all going to decay. That bloom around ye bonny, bonny sleep, gallant braes. So farewell unto ye bonny, bonny sleep, gallant braes.
Well, this is Paul Fromm, back with you again tomorrow, same time. Here on altrighttv.com, and I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot, and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf.